You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, it's late Sunday night. The Phillies suck today. They got outscored 13-2. Spencer Howard's debut was ruined. I'm bummed right now. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I just sat in some beach traffic, so everything's even better for me.
Yeah, well, we were, scheduled, quote-unquote, to record, an hour and a half ago or whatever, probably, but, you know.
I would say an hour ago. I would say maybe a half hour ago. It wasn't, you know, because there's nothing, we've talked about this a lot, but there's nothing in the world that I love more than beach fills, and it was totally ruined. I was down at the beach. It was 12:45. I was like, all right, gotta get back, you know, gotta watch some Vinny Velo. And boy, was it the most Vinny Velo start of all time.
I think it might have been the longest. There aren't many, but I think it's probably in the longest running for longest seven inning doubleheader game ever.
They made 2 7 inning games seem like
That's what I meant before when I was game. Originally we thought we'd record around 8 o'clock, you'd get home or something like that, and it is now 9:37, so good times.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, I don't understand. I have been a part of a lot of 7-inning doubleheaders, and I don't get how they make them feel so long.
Vinny played a massive. It's unbelievable, and it wasn't even a high scoring game. It was a 5-2 game, and when it was 1-0, it felt like it was 1,000 years long. He really is the modern day Steve Traxel. He's the human rain delay. He is brutal, man.
I mean, I just between him being the same, between this Phillies team looking just like last year's Phillies team, you know, and we'll get into it. But obviously, the bullpen sucks, yeah. Right? But holy smokes, the offense is also dreadful. I mean, you know, and I see the stats coming out of actually they're first in K percentage and first in walk percentage and third in OPS. And it's dude, I don't know. I don't care. I just don't care. They're not a good offensive team. And it looks exactly the same. And it feels like they never get the big hit. They just never get the big hit. They're so bad at jumping on any sort of momentum. I mean, they made 14 innings today. It feel like you were at the dentist. It was so, just so. They even ruined Spencer Howard's debut. You know, it was so brutal all throughout that they even ruined something that I was so jacked up for. I don't know. Whatever. We'll get into it.
Well, I think you just did a little bit. I like it. Look, 2 runs all day, 7 hits over the course of 2 games.
I mean, Acuna and Freeman had more hits than them combined, right?
Of course Acuna picks today to finally say hello to the 2020 season, of course. Those two. I mean, the homer off Howard was Jesus to the opposite field. I have an Acuna thing I want to bring up later. So we'll.
I thought that ball was caught at the wall. Like I was like, oh, that's an out,
and it just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, and it was like almost into.
It went over the seats. That first row of seats went all the way back in like the concourse. It was crazy. Opposite field.
What the hell is Ronald Acuna Jr.? I mean, what is that? Like that is next level. Like between him, Soto, and Tatis, it's like holy smokes!
Well,
like,
we're gonna get to that because I actually want to ask you a question about that because that came up on Twitter. So, well, let's all right, real quick, because obviously, even though Saturday and obviously the rain on Friday, Saturday was super fun, but it's just completely. Blacked out by what happened today. But quickly, let's get the one thing that I do think we need to talk about out of the way, and then we'll come back to complaining and potentially crying about today. Jake Arrieta is what is this real? Jack, is Jake Arrieta? I feel ridiculous even saying good. I want to be like, is Jake Arrieta not bad? But like, what is Jake Arrieta? How real is this in your eyes?
It's decently real. Like I think he could be a 3.74 guy, like a low fours, high three guy. If that's good, I feel like for Jake Arrieta, that's a massive win. I think that he was aided a lot by the umpire. I mean, umpire definitely helps him a lot. I said it last week when we were kind of talking about the same kind of thing. Like, is this Jake Arrieta thing real? And I said then that, you know, if he's finishing over his front side and he can get to the outside corner, that like you saw it a ton on Saturday, the fastball down and away to right-handed hitters, they just can't do anything with that pitch, and that's the pitch that guys just have to consistently hit if they want to be. Long-term major league pitchers. And he did that really well. He still missed middle a good amount, and the Braves kind of just didn't make him pay. I think there's a path to a low fours, high threes, maybe 3.7-ish ERA from Jake, and at this point we'll take that. I don't know if we're ever going to get the $25 million a year pitcher. I think that's pretty much off the table. But if he can do what he did on Saturday, that's a total win. It doesn't have to be no runs. It can be two runs. But, you know, he does look healthy. He threw some freaking nasty sliders. And they were still clocking at 90 miles an hour, which was insane. So, looks like he's definitely healthy. And I think if he can consistently get his fastball on that outside corner, he's got a shot. And, you know, that's kind of what I tweeted. Because I don't, you know... Sometimes I get ahead of myself when it comes to pitching stuff because I get excited.
No way.
I know. But it's because I get excited, and I get excited, and I see stuff that I like, and I hope that I can translate it. So I try to calm down a little bit. And if he can consistently hit that outside corner, I think he has a shot. I don't want to get too ahead of myself because it's Jake, and we know that he can kind of just implode at any moment, and he's still not the most fun to watch. You know, I didn't think he was as competitive in the zone as he was in the Yankee start. But again, if he hits that outside corner, I think he's got a shot. And I mean, when he's throwing 90-mile-an-hour sliders, that's always going to be tough.
All right, let's get and look. The offense was there a little bit. You know, two homers really got him over the top. The JT and the Bruce homers in that game, and look, it was good enough. And I thought Arrieta looked really good. You know, I was happy to see it, and I'm encouraged, but obviously I'm, you know, it still needs to show more for me to be ready to jump fully back in. But I've been impressed with what we've seen so far through two starts. But let's get the other starting pitching stuff out of the way, and then we'll get into the lineup and the bullpen and the real stuff we need to talk about.
Fun.
Yeah, it's just fun after fun. So, Vinny V, anything to add? I mean, for me... You know, he's just brutal to watch, and he was fine, but it didn't – it almost looked like he got lucky a bit. There were some nasty pitches in there. He had, a couple – a few swings and misses, it seemed like, but the fastball didn't seem to have a lot of zip on it, and it seemed like he got lucky in a couple swats. I don't know. It just – it didn't feel like a very impressive four innings, even though he – you know, the only run he gave up ended up being given up by Deolis Guerra ultimately. What did you think of Vinny? Anything to add to kind of just same old Vinny, like you said before?
No.
Cool.
It was
cool. I'm tired. We don't need that. We don't need to belabor it. It's cool.
No, but he, he wasn't very good. And he was, again, it was so, honestly, I felt like the clock was, or the gun was a little low all day. Like, he was only 92. You know, and Vinny had been 95. The one thing that was frustrating with Vinny is, for some reason, he's just not throwing the cutter. He didn't throw one cutter today. It's not weird. One.
Why? What is going on? He always does
it's
this.
Like,
that's what I, Jack, that's why I made the bet with you at the beginning of the season. That's why I, like, he always does this. He's that guy who he tantalizes, and then he just always ends up going back to being the super annoying, super frustrating Vincent Velasquez. You know, like, he is who he is at this point.
Well, yeah, he's truly, truly, truly dreadful.
All right, well, let's talk Spencer Howard. Yeah. That's, and again, it was, they ruined Spencer Howard's debut, but, you know, I don't think Spencer Howard was bad. You know, I thought he had some really nice moments. Obviously, I think he was a little jittery in his first start. What did you think of Howard? And then we'll get to the, you know, the actual depressing stuff from today.
Yeah, I think Howard's gonna be really good. You know, there was nothing that happened today that deterred me from my belief that he's gonna be a really, really good major league starter. And I think he's gonna eventually be the ace of the staff. Like, you saw all the flashes. I mean, the changeup he didn't throw a lot early, which was surprising because probably his second best off speed pitch. So that changeup is gonna be a real weapon for him going forward. The fastball is really heavy, and I know he didn't get any swings and misses on it. And I know Freeman hit the home run off of it, but that pitch is just gonna be really hard to consistently make hard contact off of. It's a really, really heavy fastball. And Freeman's just a freak, you know. I mean,
just like muscles.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a taller first baseman version of Chase Utley. Like he's just so good. And his hands are so fast and so strong. And between him and Acuna, it just feels like they're gonna kill us eventually. And unfortunately, it happened for 14 innings today, which was just exhilarating stuff as always. You know, I think the slider's a really good pitch. I actually, you know, I don't like the curveball. And I know everyone was like, oh, you know, it was a nasty pitch. I just think that pitch is going to get crushed as he throws it more often, you know, because I think he changes his mechanics a lot on that. He really slows his arm down. He doesn't throw it that hard. And I just think that eventually it's going to be a hanger and someone's just going to hit it. Like, it's going to be, I envision his curveball actually a lot like how Nola's is. Not as nasty as Nola's can be when Nola's gets left up. Like the Voit homer, like I see that happening with Spencer Howard's curveball a lot. It can be a pretty good get me over pitch. You know, it can be like you're down 2-0 in the count, and me flipping a curveball, get back into it, and make a competitive pitch. But I don't really see it being a plus pitch until he learns how to spin it. Because right now it kind of just drops. It doesn't really have a hard spin to it, and I think major league hitters will eventually get up to it. I think the slider's nasty. I think the slider's only going to get better. But like my thing with Spencer Howard, and it was a lot of the same things that were coming out about Embiid before the draft, was like, this guy just learns minute to minute how to play basketball. And that's how I feel about Spencer Howard. Like, Spencer Howard really doesn't have an idea how to pitch yet. Like, he is still just scratching the surface. And you kind of heard, I think it was T-Mac say, you know, he talked to some scouts today, and they were like, he's going to have 4-plus pitches. And you can see the base of him having 4-plus pitches. I mean, he was 95 with a heavy fastball, a slider that was close to 90 that had, like, once you, the key to a good slider, and they showed it a couple times today, but if you see the dot on the ball, then that means your slider is spinning at the most efficient rate it can. And you can see that from his slider today. So that was great to see. And the changeup's going to be nasty. He didn't really feel comfortable today. It didn't feel like he felt tight early. And he felt just a little bit jittery, I thought, in the first inning. But I thought he really settled down. He's fine. Like, you know, I think eventually he'll add like a cutter or a two-seamer to his fastball, and he'll kind of just ride that out. But there was just nothing that I saw today that deterred any belief that he's going to be a really, really good major league pitcher, and I think he's eventually going to be the ace of the staff. Did it suck that it didn't score for him? Yeah. Does it suck that Freeman hit that homer off him? Yeah. But, I mean, he's going to allow home runs. The Acuna thing was stupid. Look,
and he got by the two of the best hitters in the National League. Like, Acuna and Freeman are two of the best hitters in baseball. You know, it's like it happens. He's a rookie. I think maybe he was a little jittery at first. It's his first major league start. You know, that happens. I'm with you. I wasn't too concerned about it. Let's get to the stuff that is concerning. A real Sophie's choice for you here, Fred. So I'm going to give you the choice. Would you rather talk first about the bullpen or the lineup? Neither? Neither. All right. It was great talking to you guys. We love the IOPS listeners. Hopefully there are better days ahead this week. We'll talk to you later in the week on Thursday.
Good podcast. Yeah. Let's talk about the offense.
Okay. All right. So I have a Girardi point to make in here. But first, more macro. You kind of alluded to it, but this offense, same issues we saw last year and the year before, where they can't clear the bases, they can't drive runners in, they never get big hits. They seem to sometimes have a big inning or a big night, but there is very little inning to inning at bat to bat consistency with this lineup, and there are big gaping holes in the lineup. I mean, Scott Kingery, I don't know how he stays in the lineup right now. It's just, we talked about it last time, and he's still just as lost. I have some other Girardi things I want to throw at you, but I mean, ultimately, I know we're only 10 games into the season, but that's a sixth of the season. If they even play the full 60 games, I mean, it's time to start maybe making some decisions based on who's hot on winning games now, because you don't have that much time to mess around comparatively. Jack, what is your take on the offense as a whole? I think we could both agree Harper, Romuto, we feel very good about. And obviously some bench guys have been solid. The Bruce is, you know, if Gosselin ever gets in the lineup, and I'll get to that more too. But where are you at with the regulars who are really struggling? And if they deserve to stay in the lineup, the Seguras, the Kingeries, the Hoskins, and I know Hoskins had a couple hits, but where are you at with this lineup right now? Because today was a tough day, Jack. A tough day.
Yeah,
especially with Spencer Howard on the hill. Like, how did they not get up for that, dude?
Bryce made the claim that if he's not starting the sixth game of the season, right? There's going to be a problem.
I know. And Bryce had a couple shots, the runners on base, and, just saying.
Very frustrating. I know. It sucked. But the one thing that I just think is mind-boggling. This is what sucks about a 60-game schedule, because you can't kind of let guys
work out of things.
Yeah, and you also want to believe in track records and all that stuff. But, like, the thing that I'm starting to become annoyed with Girardi is there's just no urgency. I mean, why is Vince Velasquez maybe making his next start instead of Spencer Howard? Like, why is JT Realmuto not in the starting lineup in game one? If you're going to use Knapp, why is he not the DH? What is going on?
Why are you not pinch hitting for Didi Gregorius with Will Smith on the mound? Phil Gosselin is such an obvious spot to put him there. But even JT, I know he pinch hit JT later in a meaningless spot to lead off the ninth. Like, that's the highest leverage spot of the game. You have runners on first and second. You have the chance to bring the tying run to the plate against a left-handed pitcher who can't leave the game because of the three-batter rule, and you just let Didi go up there and hit. Like, that made no sense to me. It seems like Girardi is not at all managing, like you said, with any sense of urgency, any sense of these games really matter. And you see, and we'll get into the specifics of the bullpen, but you see the same thing with his bullpen decisions. He doesn't, that's a 3-1 game today and a runner on first. Like, you got to do whatever you can to keep that game close, to give your team a chance to come back. You need to win that game, and it just fritters away because a 3-0 game at the point. He doesn't seem to have any. I know. Look, and the bullpen sucks. We'll talk about how bad it sucks, but like, it still just doesn't feel like Girardi's making decisions based on I need to win these games as much as I'm figuring things out or this or that or whatever.
Well, and why are you pulling Haseley in the fourth or the third or whatever, the first sight of a lefty, and then later in the game it's a big spot and it's Roman Quinn up there instead of where you can put in McCutchen? Like, to pull Haseley that early in the game, it seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, how the How the hell do we know that Adam Haseley can't hit lefties?
They never let him try.
How about we make sure he can't hit lefties before we just decide he can't hit lefties? I mean, the guy's scorching hot. Like, let's give him a shot.
Well,
I mean,
same thing with like Gossam, with righties. I mean, that's like they're so wedded to these things. Like, those are two of your, you know, four hottest hitters, and Gossam, you know, for a while the hottest on the team. Like, why? Those guys have to be in the lineup. You're not scoring runs. Like, you need to put the guys in there who are seeing the ball well, who are locked in right now. I mean, baseball is a game of streaks. You ride those streaks.
Who the hell, what the hell has Rowan Quinn done to keep getting the opportunity he does? Like, Gene Segura is our 5-0 hitter today. Like, Gene Segura's batting 172.
Like, what's happening here? I know it's a lefty on though, but really? Again, like, I don't think Gene Segura should be in the lineup. I think Phil Gosselin should be playing third. Hey, actually, Jack, how's this for an idea? Where the hell is Alec Bohm? Like, I guarantee Alec Bohm is a better hitter right now today than at least three guys in the lineup, maybe four or five. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Do we want to win these games or not?
I honestly don't think they care. You know, I think honestly they went into the season, and we've seen by their bullpen decisions, like, hey, Joe, this is a year where we can kind of learn what we have here. And if you make the playoffs, great. If not, whatever. Like,
if we don't, we don't. Is that?
If we don't, we don't. Without coming out and saying it. Like, every decision they've made has been like trying to still evaluate this roster. Every decision they've made has been like, we're the 2017 Phillies, and we're still trying to build this thing. You know, can this guy stick at a major league level? Can this guy get outside of the bullpen? I haven't seen one decision that's like, no, we gotta make the playoffs right now. You know, like Spencer Howard being up here is a nice start, but I mean, Bohm should be up here. You know, at least to put some pressure on some guys. I mean, how in the world is Gene Segura batting 172? I mean, this is Gene Segura. He should be a 280 to 300 hitter. Like, he's batting 172. I mean, Scott Kingery should be, if there's minor league baseball, you'd be talking about sending him down. Like, mm-hmm. he's been that bad. Like, and I don't get why. I don't get how all of these guys. I thought Hoskins had a really nice day. I mean, three of his balls today were hit over 100 miles an hour. It looks like he finally found some timing, even against Freed, who I thought was disgusting.
Freed was awesome.
Well, Freed is just nasty. I know they've had success against him, but he just seems like a guy that would just destroy the Phillies.
Yep.
But you know, I mean, he had three balls today that were around 100 miles an hour. One that was 107. Looks like his timing's back a little bit. And honestly, if I was Joe Girardi, and the second that I thought that Reese looked like he was back to driving some baseballs instead of just going up there looking for walks, I would get him back in the cleanup spot because they're leaving so many runs on the board because they're 5-hole hitters.
Yeah, but that's a big jump. Reese had one game, like one game.
I know, but like, I'm getting him back. Like, they need to have someone that has some thump behind.
I don't feel confident at all. I'd rather Realmuto up with runners on base than Hoskins. I mean, I feel zero confidence.
Well, yeah, but Realmuto's getting on base behind Harper. Like, there has to be that guy behind Realmuto, you know? Like, there has to be.
Well, that would be the 5-hole then.
Right, which is where I want. Not, yeah, I didn't mean the 4-hole. I meant the 5-hole.
Clean up.
Because when I look at him, when I look at this Phillies offense, it's like they're missing like one dude, and that dude is a Reese Hoskins who is actually driving a baseball, and then you could put whoever back in the 2-hole, yeah, like Segura getting back
again. I need more than one game of hitting the ball hard to be bagging on Reese. He's been such a mess. And look, maybe shaving the mustache was it, and maybe that's really all that matters.
Can't prove it wasn't.
Well, so far you can't. I don't know. I'm not ready to trust Hoskins. I think in the 2-hole for now is still fine because he's getting on base. Well, so
the one thing I'm worried about him in the 2-hole and getting on base, and it's, I mean, the fact that his on base percentage is like over 400 is, it's hilarious to me.
It's like such a ridiculous slash line, and I don't know what it is after the two hits, but it was like the kind of thing where it's like batting like in the 100s with the 400 OBP and then a slugging percentage in the 200s. It's like, what is that? what kind of a season is that?
I know. But my one concern about him in the 2-hole long term is that it creeps into his mind that a walk is is like.
I think it's already there, don't you think? I feel like every time he goes to the bat, he doesn't want to swing. And granted, the second game today was better. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm with you. Like, he still looks like he's trying to pull everything. It doesn't look like he's super comfortable still. You know, the leg kick still seems like his timing is just a split second off. Like, even that double down the line, like, it felt like he, you know, just kind of went, you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't feel like he, I know he hit it hard, but it felt like he went and got it and kind of pulled it again. I don't know. I'm not there with Reese. I'm not. And look, how sad is it that's not even Reese is a superstar compared to Scott Kingery right now. Kingery's a shell of a Major League Baseball player right now. I don't know. Do you think Alec Bohm will be up this week? They need to bring him up. Like, this is, if you care, and again, you might be right. They might not care about the season, but it's also like with 8 playoff teams, like, you don't even have to care that much and you can still make the playoffs. Just bring Bohm up.
I know.
Make the playoffs. Like, what are we doing? It just seems so. Just so no F's given. And, I mean, we've seen it. Look, to not sign Liriano because of the luxury tax, to not sign Josh Harrison because of the luxury tax. Like, I mean, these are guys who absolutely could have helped this baseball team be better. And that's even on a smaller scale than the bigger moves that they didn't make because of it or whatever. You're right. I mean, I think that if you look at what the Phillies have done over the last few years, and particularly heading into this season and this season, they are not giving their fan base a message that says we're trying to win. They're just not. Like, Joe Girardi is like the only thing they did that was like fan service in that way. Like, they really haven't. And it's frustrating as hell, Jack. Like, I'm super. So what's the, is there a silver lining with you? I mean, you're Jackie Optimism. You got a silver lining for me? McCutcheon, he looks a little bit better, right? That's a silver lining.
I mean, sure, I guess so.
Oh, God.
Silver lining.
With the lineup, and then we'll get to the bullpen where there are no silver linings, as we know.
Well, I mean, Real Muto still has an OPS over 1,000. Bryce is batting in the 280s.
Did Phil Gosselin do something to personally offend or injure Joe Girardi?
No, I just don't think they trust him against righties.
Well, how are you going to know if you don't give him a chance when he's the hottest player on the team? Same thing with Hazy against lefties. Like, I'm just frustrated with it. Let's get to the bullpen because I got
some. Oh, well, good thing there's no frustration there. Yeah, everything's fine.
I'm ready for bed, Jack, all right? Bullpen.
Well, good thing
issues with Girardi. We already talked about it. I think he has showed no urgency in the way he's managed the bullpen either, but it's easier to forgive him for that, as in, like, who the hell do you trust? I mean, Adam Morgan today, that's a guy you're supposed to, quote-unquote, be able to trust, was just a train wreck. Deolis Guerra is just, I mean, dude, what are we doing here? You have Connor Brogdon, Damon Jones, Garrett Clevenger, any of these guys, like whoever they are, like, why don't you just take a shot with them? Austin Davis is not a major league pitcher. He should not be on a major league roster. He shouldn't. It's crazy town. Trevor Kelly should not be on this roster. I mean, they are such a disaster. Deolis Guerra, it's a great story. The guy's been in baseball forever, and he's got like 70-something games in the majors. Like, good for you, bro. Like, why are you coming into a 3-0 or a 3-1 game in the fifth inning when I need to win this game? Like, why? I'm infuriated. I'm so sick of this bullpen, and I'm sick of the way Girardi's managed it. Like, and I'm sick of, like, look, to the point we were just making, if they're just doing the whole, let's see what we have, then see what the hell Damon Jones is. See what the hell Connor Brogdon is. See what Ramon Rosso is. We saw him today a little bit, and he looked all right. He did a good job, especially after that first start, but it's like he does that first start, and then he's freaking buried, and yet I see Deolis Guerra every other game, Jack. I don't get it.
Well, the good thing about that is that after Deolis Guerra, there's Trevor Kelly and Cole Irvin.
Cole Irvin got didn't he get sent to the minors so they could bring Howard up? At least that's a good thing. It's a win.
Yeah,
for
after
today.
getting ripped for an inning. Yeah.
The biggest problem. I love that the guy they bring into a game and then because you know he was gonna get Cole Irvin was the DFA decision no matter what. Like that was going to happen no matter what. But then like why even bring him into a game? Like oh let's give you an inning before you head that back to the taxi squad. Like I don't get that. Like I just don't get any of it. It's brutal.
Can Cole Irvin get DFA to the moon? Like is that allowed?
I mean, think honestly, about it. Cole Irvin and Austin Davis legitimately should not be on any major league roster. Like they are not major league baseball pitchers.
Dude, I don't think Austin Davis could get outs in the PSAC. And I'm being dead serious, man. Dude, Austin Davis is just the bane of my existence. How the expletive was this team supposed to compete with this load of crap? Like it is such a disaster. Like the fact that I'm now back in on Tommy Hunter because he's back up to 94 and like I like the Phillies bullpen, like I want you and everyone out there to envision this with me. Like the Phillies bullpen has my heart in their hands and like every single pump of blood they are just letting it seep out and just die. Like that is like this bullpen is kill. Like I don't think I've ever hated a member of a Philly sports team more than I hate this bullpen. I know all the Phillies problems are not bullpen related. I know they can't get hits. I know they're not hitting well with runners in scoring position. I know Scott Kingery's batting 0-25. I know Rhys Hoskins hasn't gotten a hit, and I know he's whatever hit the ball hard today. I know G. Segura sucks. I know McCutcheon sucks. I got it, but there's at least some track record there. Like the audacity of this team to come into this season and sell to this fan base that Daly Scarra, Austin Davis, Trevor Kelly, Cole Irvin, and like Tommy Hunter were going to just be fine is like one of the ballsiest decisions I've ever seen from any front office ever. It's like the Eagles going to Carson and being like, "You see those receivers you had last year? We're actually going to take
back.
We're going to take away Greg Ward, and then we're going to go give you that and see what you can do with it. Just make some magic out of it." Like I just hate them. I hate them. I hate every. This is a sports hate. I don't personally hate them. I'm sure they're good guys. Freaking hate them. I hate them. I hate every single one of them. They are. They're I might just start betting against them every night. Like there's no shot this team is making a run with a bullpen as bad as this. You know, one of the things that is just murdering them, and this is from our guy Bob Wankel. So first relievers out of the Phillies bullpen for Girardi.
Yeah, I saw this.
16 earned runs while only recording 17 outs this season. Like the first guy out of the bullpen is like a guaranteed run at this point, which is just ridiculous. And you know, this is how I felt about Haseley with the starting lineup and kind of Gosselin. But like, can I see if Ramon Rosso's bad before we just decide he's bad? You know, you saw today he could at least be like his fastball is hard to consistently square up because it has late cut to it, and his slider is kind of crappy, but there were shades of it being good in summer camp. I know Austin Davis stinks. I know Trevor Kelly literally has no idea where the ball is going. I know Daly Scarra can't consistently get outs in the big leagues. I know Cole Irvin couldn't get outs in the PSAC. But like, can I figure out if Ramon Rosso can't? Like, are we just gonna keep with this whole stupid idea that these guys have been in big league camps before, so they know how to get the job done, rather than maybe giving guys with some talent like freaking Connor Brogdon or Damon Jones a chance? Just give them a chance. Like, you already basically don't give a crap about the season anyway. Why not bring up some guys that can you can at least hopefully evaluate for the future? I mean, it's just a disaster. It's just awful. It's awful. And Jose Alvarez is never going to allow a run. There's my positive.
Look at you. You spun that around really nicely at the end. I think everyone feels great.
I just hate them.
Yeah, I do too. They are, again, one of the worst, like, position groups of my Philly lifetime, like, along with the Doyle Green Beckham wide receivers and the Bradley Fletcher cornerbacks and
Des Bryant. This is Des Bryant 150 yards and two touchdowns every game against those Eagles secondary. That's what this is every single night.
And you're right, Jack. Like, who knows? Maybe they could be the 8 seed or something because there are 8 freaking teams making the playoffs. But they're not going anywhere with this bullpen. And I don't even think at this point they make the 8 seed. I think the bullpen's too bad. I mean, again, unless, like you just said, Damon Jones, Connor Brogdon, they bring these guys up and it's like, oh, wow, talented guys are talented and actually pitch well. And then maybe something, you know, happens. But, I mean, let's be real. This is it's just not good. And it's especially frustrating because – the starting pitching's been really good, like, compared to what we expected coming into the season. Like, Vinny's been Vinny, but, I mean, you have to be really happy with what the starting pitching has done. I mean, you look at the string of starts they got from, you know, like, Arrieta and prior to that with Wheeler and Nola. I mean, Eflin, like, they've been getting some solid outings, and this bullpen just fritters it away time after time after time, and it's like, it's like the worst way to lose a game too. Forgetting, you know, how to build a team, this and that, all that stuff. Just as a sports fan watching your baseball team every night, like, there's nothing worse than having a bad bullpen. Like, there's nothing worse. It's the most defeating feeling because every time you have a lead, every time your starter's doing good, every time you're not scoring enough runs, or, you know, you get a run, but you have a lead, but you have a chance to get more runs and you don't capitalize on it, you know it's going to come back to bite you. And it sucks. It sucks because every time you can't even enjoy the leads. You can't even enjoy the good times because you know that there's always that hammer that's ready there to just slam down on it. And it sucks, Jack. It is infuriating. It's soul crushing. Like, I hate it.
Which is more annoying for you, the offense or the bullpen?
The bullpen. But I understand what you're saying with annoying. Annoying because I expect more from the offense. Like, I don't expect any. Like, the bullpen, we came into this season and said, oh, this bullpen's going to suck, but let's hope. They suck, you know? It is what it is. So they're infuriating and angering because I'm so mad that the Phillies went into the season with this bullpen, with all of us, including them, knowing it wasn't good enough. But the offense is more annoying in that sense that they should be better than this, and it's frustrating to watch them not, like, be better than this.
I just want to know what Matt Klentak thinks when he watches the bullpen. Like, does he watch it like, well, here we go?
We think Matt Klentak watches baseball.
Yeah, that's a fair question. It's.
I think all that he knows of baseball is whatever the computer tells him. I've come around to thinking that Matt Klentak's a not watch baseball guy. That's where I'm going with it. Because how could you make the decisions you make if you watch baseball and you're Matt?
Yeah, it's just so funny that, you know, every single Phillies thing heading into the season, like on the radio, Twitter, this podcast is like, man, just can't see that bullpen being good, and here we are. And it's like, you know, in the off season, you're looking at it and you're like, man, you know, just excited for baseball to be back. And yeah, the bullpen might not be good, but whatever, just excited for it to be back. And then you get here, you watch the bullpen, and you're like, wow, no, this actually sucks. Like, I just there's no redeeming qualities of watching this bullpen, and the guys that we do believe in possibly just can't even see the field, so that's great. And Trevor Kelly, like honestly, for as much as I hate Austin Davis, I think I hate Trevor Kelly just as much, because, you know, he just has no, like, how are you in the major leagues and you don't know where the ball's going? And, like, can we just stop? And we complained about this a lot last year, but for the love of all that is holy, can we stop with signing guys that throw 91 or 92 and, like, wow, like, yeah, holy please. Crap, can we see where the game's going? Can we get some power arms? I mean, Ken Giles must have been, like, the most, like, they must have watched Ken Giles coming up through the minor league system and be like, wow, this guy throws, like, maybe 150 miles an hour.
Way too hard for us. This is not okay, guys.
No,
okay.
He doesn't know how to pitch. We need guys that know how to pitch and know how to get outs, like Cole Irvin, you know? Just can we just stop with this freaking 91 mile an hour bull crap? Like,
Jack.
It's fun. Whatever, it's fun.
All right, I got a couple things to fire you. I'm going to bed soon. I'm warning you. Scott Fransky said this in the first game, and at the time it was 17. Now it is 19. The Phillies are 0 for their last 19 times that they scored 3 runs or less.
Good. Well, you know, good thing this bullpen, or good thing this the offense is not billed to be borderline elite.
Coming up, we got Nolan Newcomb tonight. I think that's a massive, or tomorrow night, excuse me, that's a massive game. They need Nola. They need to score some runs for Nola. Orioles for 3, Mets for 3. So the schedule theoretically, hopefully, lightens up here if they could steal the game tonight. We'll be back after the Orioles series. But you got any mail take bag? I wanna, or not mail take bag. You know what I mean? Take bag. Jack, I'm tired, man. I'm at my. It's been a long day, my friend. And I want to fire the Tatis Acuna Soto thing at you too.
Yeah, I don't really have much. I don't know. I just whatever. Just win tomorrow. Like here's what's gonna happen. They're gonna win tomorrow. I mean, they're gonna win tomorrow. They'll lose the Wheeler Star. They'll win the last two. Like the thing that's most frustrating about this team is that they just can never capture momentum and go on a run.
Get on a run. Well, this is the story of last year. Four games. They didn't win more than 4 games in a row. Like, what is that all year?
They didn't know it was allowed. But hey.
Well, they still don't.
You know, apparently. Tomorrow is a massive Nola start. You know, I kind of.
They need him to be a stopper tomorrow, and they need him to go.
And
7.
I'm nervous to put the 2018 claim back on him because.
Well, he was that last start. We'll see if it sticks.
But he was. But, you know, he did. I didn't feel like he pitched that well against the Braves last year. And if he can kind of overcome that here, that would be massive. But, yeah, I'll be back down the beach later this week, and I could really use the Phillies not ruining my beach time because, there's nothing in the world that makes me happier than watching the Phillies.
Oh, you'll be at the beach. Well, why don't we record next weekend? I don't want to make you record from the beach.
I'm going
to
record from the beach. Okay. Yeah, let's.
All right, he loves everybody. Hero. Yeah. All right, last thing before we get out of here. Your buddy, my friend, Joe Giglio, tweeted out Soto over Acuna. And I've long been an Acuna over Soto guy, but I could go either way on it. I think it's very close. But I responded and said Tatis Jr. over both of them. Where do you come down?
Well,
Tatis Jr., Acuna, Soto, the three, and of course, two of them are in our division fun. For the next decade or whatever.
For it's the great. Next decade?
The two, like 20. Well, Acuna is the next decade 15, for sure. He's signed.
Try 15 years.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be optimistic, Jack. Like, the three great, truly great, you know, 21 and under guys. Where do you come down?
Well, as an owner of Tatis in two dynasty keeper leagues, I am a little bit biased, but obviously Tatis. I mean, I didn't see what like 96 A-Rod was, but I'm assuming this is what it was. I mean, it's just the guy hits everything hard, and I just can't, like, honestly, James. I couldn't imagine being a White Sox fan knowing that we gave that.
Oh, my God. For James Shields.
For James Shields. Like, imagine watching Fernando Tatis Jr.
With Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez. Think
about
that. Well,
Nick Madrigal.
Think about that
squad. And Dylan Cease.
Yeah, Giolito. But still already, like, that squad, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it'd be game over. It'd be absolute game over. And with Andrew Vaughn coming up, too, I mean, they would be ridiculous. So I'm a Tatis guy, and then I would go Soto and Acuna.
Yeah, I would still go to Acuna over Soto, but I could easily be convinced to go the other way. Regardless, I think it's definitely Tatis. Forgetting just the fact that he might have the best bat of the three alone. He's also a shortstop. Like, what are we doing here? Like, if you're starting a team, you're telling me you're taking Soto over Acuna or over Tatis because I think that would be crazy. Like, I think they're all great. I think Tatis is the clear.
Yeah, and I think he's probably going to win MVP this year. I mean, the way this is all. I mean, I very much like owning him in two leagues. It's
Before I forgot to mention, but it was pretty funny today in the first game when Knapp threw out the base runner and everyone's tweeting out, "Don't run on JT." And even the people who, like you and I, who knew that it was Knapp who made the throw, because I mean, you could see it with your eyes that it's not JT, and we already knew it was in the game, but still, like, it's funny because even the people then made like JT related jokes about Knapp. Like, I did the "don't run on Knapp," you did the something similar to that. I saw someone do like pay Knapp. Like, it just shows, I think, that the real true takeaway from that is that JT Realmuto is so amazing that even when he's not in, people think he's the one throwing out runners, that it has become just like a cottage industry that he just throws everyone out. It's awesome.
He's really good at it, so that helps. And although, you know, I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed in his game calling with Spencer in game two.
Everyone gets called out when they need to get called out, Jack. It's okay.
Especially on this podcast. We hold everyone accountable. Each other.
It's true.
They were just starting to rip first pitch fastballs and they kept putting them down, but whatever. Spencer Howard's here. And the fact that, like, if they don't just keep him in this rotation, it's just gonna drive me nuts.
Riot.
Yeah. The pandemic crew is gonna change from air horns to riots.
Shout out to those guys. That is they are representing. All right. Can I go to bed?
Yeah, you can go to bed. Lock it in 100%. They win tomorrow. They're so addicted to splitting. They're going to split tomorrow. Noel's going to shove. Bryce is going to do the thing. And then if they don't, is the Orioles series three games? Yeah.
Yes. Three with the Orioles, three versus the Mets, Philly.
First one of the year, James. Got to take 2 of 3.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey.
2 of 3. Let's do it.
Hey, Orioles series, must win. No, actually, I'm being that serious. It's a must win.
Yeah, like, kind of got to win that series. All right, I'm going to bed. We'll talk to you guys Thursday after the Orioles series. Let's hope it's a more fun podcast than this one was. He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. See you later.